A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? I'm Mike Wilson with Any Hour Services, and we're proud to help bring you this podcast. If you ever need a resource for information about your home's electrical, plumbing, heating, or air conditioning system, you can find Any Hour Services on Facebook, YouTube, or online at anyhourservices.com.
The JMAC News Show. Fearless. Honesty.
Hope. It is the only thing stronger than fear.
Jay McFarland. Fearless. Fearless. About the stories that really matter on KSL News Radio.
Hello, Utah. This is Kirk Jowers filling in for day two for JMAC, and I'm excited to be here. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time on the important issues of the day, politics and policies. We're going to do that a little bit today as well, but I also want to highlight some great Utahns who are doing amazing things on the national and global stage, as well as focus on a little bit of what the news of the day is. I am really thrilled with my first guest. My first guest who is in studio is Greg Miller. Greg has served in various leadership positions within the Larry H. Miller Group for more than 30 years, including as CEO from 2008 to 2015. He's well known as an innovative and visionary leader, and with his wife Heidi has established at least two foundations that I'm familiar with, the Do Good As You Go Foundation and the Sherry Black Education Foundation. Serves on several community and professional boards. We've served on the governor's advisory team for about a decade together, and one that I would love to serve on but have not been asked to, the National Basketball Association's Board of Governors. So, Greg, I am so grateful to have you in studio with me today.
It's really nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot to talk about. You do fantastically adventurous things, like in 2018 when you led a 2,000-kilometer expedition across the ice cap of Greenland. But there's too much excitement about the Jazz. I just want to go straight to the Jazz for this segment. In the next segment, I'm just giving you a fair warning. There's a lot of chatter about you running for governor, and so I want to ask you about that. But we're going to go Jazz first, so we'll kind of ease into the tougher stuff.
All right.
So the Jazz... One, I've got to say thank you to the Miller family for two things. I was just looking online, and you know this, I'm sure, but I don't know if everyone else does. We all know the Jazz have been very good to great for as long as they've been in Utah. But the Jazz are the fifth most successful franchise in terms of winning percentage of all time. That's incredible. And if you take out the New Orleans years and just do the Miller years, then you're in a dogfight for number one with the Spurs, Lakers, and Celtics. That's incredible.
Yeah, we've been blessed with a lot of great leadership, great coaches, obviously, with Coach Sloan and Coach Snyder. A lot of great players, a lot of great support from the community. Obviously, my dad took a lot of risk to keep the team here, to build the arena, the recent renovation. So there's just been a lot of neat elements that have come together, and it's been really fun to be a part of it throughout the years.
The other reason I'm grateful, of course, is because your family made a huge sacrifice. Could be hundreds of millions, could be in the billions of potential revenue by making that compact to keep the Jazz in Utah. That has not ever been done, I think, with any professional team I know of, and it was an incredible gift to the state of Utah.
Yeah, it was very innovative. We worked with the NBA, the league office, for 2 or 3 years to engineer that in a way that met all of their standards and ours as well. And we were pushing the envelope on how that deal was architected. And it was something that I'm very proud of. I was actually talking to Steve Starks about this yesterday, the thing about it is it's the best vehicle that we could come up with working with our legal counsel and talking about it as a family, that would allow us to keep the team in this market forever, in perpetuity. And that's our goal. I'm sure most of the listeners have heard the talk about how important it was to keep the team here to my dad. That's why he took the risk to buy the first half and then a year later the second half. And that commitment is as strong with my siblings and I. And I think when our kids are in the driver's seat, so to speak, you'll find everybody will find it's as important to them as it is to the rest of the family. And so this allowed us to do that and sort of put all the chatter about will the Jazz ever leave, will the Millers ever sell out, put that all behind us and just enjoy having the franchise here and know that it's going to be a part of this community, hopefully in perpetuity. That's certainly the intent.
And what a time to enjoy the Jazz.
Exciting
you know,
times.
We had the amazing years with Stockton and Malone where, but for Michael Jordan, we might have a few championship rings. Some very fun years, of course, with the Darren Williams teams, but now we've got a phenomenal talent in Donovan Mitchell, an all-star in Rudy Gobert, good enough to get us through the first round last year. This year was tough; we ran into a really tough opponent, and you have doubled down, and we now have a team that a lot of pundits are saying is one of the top two or three teams in the league.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. There's a lot of high expectations being lofted around out there, and the thing that we talk about internally is the only expectations that we need to worry about are our own, our self-imposed expectations, which are high, but we should measure against those rather than external ones, I feel. So, but to your first point, it's to me, this is a really exciting window of opportunity for the Jazz with you know, having, as you said, Rudy and Donovan, Donovan being on his rookie contract, obviously he's going to make big money before he's done. Yeah. And so we had an opportunity to make some roster changes and bring in some players that we felt could help us for a title run. And we've got about a 2 or 3 year window to get something done, and we're going to do everything we can to advance as far as we can. It's great to be a playoff team and have made it a couple years in a row, but that's not enough. I mean, obviously, we're in it to get a championship, and we feel that with this team, we've taken significant steps towards that goal.
It's really fun to see. You know, I was talking to some people back east, and they're talking about how great the Jazz have always been. They're always in the picture, and that this year they are one of the headliners of the NBA, the upcoming NBA season, and just kind of marveling, like, how do you guys do that? Because in no universe should anything from Utah ever be as good as anything from New York, and yet, you know, we have still clubbed the Knicks for basically my entire life. So how have you been able to kind of, you were nice and magnanimous of talking about players and coaches and everyone else, and of course that's all true. It doesn't happen without them, but the Miller family has been the constant throughout all of these changes. How have you been able to keep a smaller market, not only competitive, but at the top of the league for so long?
Well, I think it has to do with our culture. We know who we are. We know what we stand for. Some of those things are elemental. They're basics. We don't try to get too cute or too smart. We kind of block and tackle. Another part of it is that we take a long-term perspective. We don't bring mercenaries in. We don't try to recruit somebody and just come in for a year and give us a flash in the pan or a surge to do greatness. We're a lot more organic in our approach, and the number of players that have kind of been homegrown over the last few years, I think, is evidence of that. And we stick to it. We stay focused on our objectives, and we just keep working towards them year after year. Dennis has a theory that he calls aggressive asset accumulation. And that is if whenever you give something up, you always have to get something in return. Hopefully you can get a little more sometimes than others. And you don't always have to spend those right now, but if you have those in your wallet, so to speak, there's always going to be an opportunity to redeem those. And as I said earlier, we're in one of those windows of opportunity now where we can go big, and it's neat to be a part of it. It's neat to watch Dennis and Justin and David and others always working behind the scenes. There's always something going on. Relentless. Those guys are relentless in their efforts to improve the team. They never sleep, in my opinion. I mean, it's like they're there at midnight, they're there in the morning, and they're always looking for an angle to make us better. And whether that's how we train, whether it's where we train with the Zions Bank basketball campus, whether it's the remodel to the arena, whether it's bringing the summer league back to Salt Lake City after the league decided they wanted to move it to Vegas.
I'm going to stop you right there. I want to talk summer league for just a second. But we need to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Greg Miller to talk about the Jazz and about whether he might step up to some public service opportunity.
J-Mac.
Hey, it's Kurt Jowers back with you and back with Greg Miller. We've had a great chat about the Utah Jazz, and I just want the rest of my 2 hours to talk about the NBA this season. I'm really excited about it. I cut you off right on the summer league, and the moment that I got super excited about the Jazz, even beyond where I'd ever been before, was at the summer league that Donovan Mitchell played in. He's just the 13th pick, so you figure he's probably fine. And I was at the game where he blocked this shot, somehow managed to save the ball, and then beat everyone, and this is all at the other end of the court, somehow managed to cut around three people and catch an alley-oop for a dunk. And my sons and I looked at each other and were like, oh my gosh, this guy, I've never seen that by Michael Jordan or any of these guys. And it turned out he lived up to that moment big time and continues to do so.
Yeah, he's an amazing athlete. He's an amazing human being. He's got a great work ethic. He's a great fit for the Jazz, and we are very blessed to have him.
You know, that's the last thing I'll talk about with the Jazz. Then I've got to ask you the harder questions. But you seem to do a great job of getting good people. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, he has a relationship with doTERRA, which I'm grateful for. He uses our products, and we did an interview together that I think every kid should hear because he talks about this religious moment he had in church. And I did the interview with his mom and his sister, and his mom started crying as he told this very personal story. And you can just see the family values, the standards that she imposes on him and that he has embraced and brought to the people of Utah. Then you add Michael Connelly Jr. I mean, he was acknowledged by his peers as the citizen of the
teammate of the year.
Teammate of the year. I mean, on and on it goes. So good for you for bringing great players, great people to our state. And with that, good luck to the Jazz this year. We're all cheering.
Yeah,
for
we're
them,
excited.
As always.
We're looking forward to big things. It's as a fan, I can't wait to get to the game and just feel the energy and the excitement of that opening night.
It's a fun team. They love each other, and I'm sure these new additions, Boggy and Michael Connelly Jr., will only add to that excitement. Yeah. So enough of the easy stuff. We've got to go to the harder stuff now. I think partly because of what you have been able to do with the Larry H. Miller companies, your charitable work, so many other things, what your family means to this state. You have obviously been involved in politics and policies in many different fashions. I mentioned we both serve on Governor Herbert's advisory team, and so you've been a part of these, you know, sometimes monthly meetings and hearing the needs of the state. Your name is constantly coming up as a potential gubernatorial candidate. Right now, it feels like the last two who are really being discussed are you and Ambassador, former Governor Huntsman. What do you want to tell us about all these rumors and your thoughts and plans?
Well, I will acknowledge that public service is something that I've given a lot of thought and consideration to. If I were to do it, I would likely run for governor. I've considered maybe throwing my hat in the ring for other offices, federal offices, and just don't think I'm at a point where I want to make that commute back and forth each week and be away from my family that much. So as I've considered the options, I think being the governor is the one that's most appealing, most fitting to me. And so it's something that I've given some thought to. I've talked to my family, both families, meaning my mom and my siblings. My mom has expressed support. My siblings have expressed support. My wife and my kids have, I'd say, gone beyond support to encouragement. They'd love to see me run.
That is the single most important thing, by the way, because it's not easy being a candidate's family.
Yeah, I agree, and we've talked about that, and they say, you know, there's a lot about it we don't know, but as we envision it, we think it's something that would be exciting and good for us. So if you decide to do it, we'll support you. And so I feel like I've got the stuff on the home front lined up if I decide to do it. I think for me, what it comes down to is you know, I'm 53 years old. I've got hopefully a lot of good years ahead of me. And it comes down to me, what is my highest and best use for the next 10 or 15 years? Is that working in the Larry Miller Group? Is it public service? Is it just focusing on the Jazz? Is it diving deeper into the charities that Heidi and I have formed? With the, you know, the option of just being involved with the Larry Miller Group, as a family, we kind of pivoted about 4 years ago when I stepped down as CEO and decided that we were going to, those of us who were involved in operations, were going to step out of operations so that we could be more involved in establishing a governance structure for the company that would allow us to stay operational well into the future, 100 years or more. And that involved establishing a family board of managers. It involved establishing a board of directors and a lot of other things. And that's been a hard adjustment for me, because from the time I was very young until the time I stepped down as CEO, I was right in the middle of a lot of operational issues. And that's my comfort zone, is, you know, being in consulting with my advisors, trying to produce results. And so anyway, as I look at where that stands now, I don't have the opportunity to do that. It's more administrative, and of course they're wonderful opportunities. I don't mean to imply that they're not, but
so looking at a timeline, it's always fascinating to me that sometimes that they try to speed the timeline up on everybody because one guy jumps in early. Yeah. When I look back, you know, Mike Lee came in very late, running for senator. Mitt Romney came in, you know, so-called late, although we're still a year and a half out from the general election, and you know, 9, 10 months, 11 months out from the primary. Do you have what's kind of going through your mind of what timeline or things you need to do in order to make that decision? And
well, I think I need to make sure I don't miss any windows of opportunity, you know, filing deadlines or things like that, obviously. And,
right.
And we're generally aware of those, I think. Part of it has to do with just seeing what my mom's going to do. She's 76. She's fully engaged. It's been great to see her growth in the business side of things. She's enjoying it, and I don't see her stepping down anytime soon. If that changes, like if she came in tomorrow and said, "Hey, I'm going to go hang out with Kim."
Gail Miller is a powerhouse. I will always be grateful to her for what she did for 100 different things. But you know, obviously, one of my pet causes, Count My Vote. She stepped in.
Yeah.
With my
that was a great experience for her,
and she was incredible.
So if she decides she's out tomorrow, that would probably steer me towards more, you know, deeper engagement with the business. But in the absence of something like that, I would say that there's a strong possibility that I would throw my hat in the ring. I'm not here to make an announcement yet.
Yeah.
But it's just I see it as a way for me to continue the legacy of our family in providing service to a state and communities that we love so much. Hopefully to set an example for future generations of the Miller family to give back to a community that's been so good to us. And so to answer your question, what's the next step? I think I just need to continue to you know, to research, to assess, to learn, to observe, to talk to people, and just see where it takes me.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for having me.
J-Mac.
What's up, everybody? I'm Mike Wilson with Any Hour Services, and we're proud to help bring you this podcast. If you ever need a resource for information about your home's electrical, plumbing, heating, or air conditioning system, you can find Any Hour Services on Facebook, YouTube, or online at anyhourservices.com.